In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Many happy returns to you all. The church today celebrates the Feast of the Cross, and we've been celebrating this feast since yesterday, and we'll continue to celebrate it tomorrow. It's a three-day feast. We also celebrate the Feast of the Cross on the 10th of Baramhat, and that feast is about when the Empress Helene found the cross. And then the feast of today is, or these 3 days, are marking the victory that Emperor Constantine had over Maxentius, the emperor, by the sign of the cross. We read that Synaxarium entry yesterday. So those who want to know the full story can read yesterday's Synaxarium entry, and it has that account in there. The feast of the cross from the early church was actually celebrated this time for 8 days. And there was a nun who actually recorded the account of the rites that the church did during these 8 days. But only 3 days is what was actually preserved. They lost the documents that were written from days 4 to 8. So the 3 days is what the early church celebrated. And if you read yesterday's entry, it lists the patriarchs of those who celebrated this great and glorious feast. If you remember the story of Saint Constantine, or Emperor Constantine, when he went to go battle Maxentius, he was going to battle from, he was in the east and Maxentius was in the west. And as he's going from east to west on his way, he saw the sign of the cross that was very bright, brighter than the sun. And then it's from this that he heard a voice from heaven saying that by this sign you will be victorious. So then he ended up putting this sign of the cross over all of his soldiers and all their equipment and so on. And surely by the sign of the cross he defeated the evil Emperor Maxentius. So we can see that the church wants to tell us during this feast about the victory of the cross in our life. So I'll take a few minutes today and speak about what is the way of the cross, and then what are the transformations that we can expect, or the victory that we can expect when we walk in that way of the cross. When we speak about the cross, we have many things that come to our mind, but if we want to summarize what is the way of the cross, we can look at it as Christ on the cross. And this is the epitome of love. And he even said, no greater love has no one than to give his life for his friend. So giving somebody's life for another, this is the epitome of love. And this is what Christ did on the cross for us. So if you look at it, this is the way of love. And this way of love, there are things, that happen, this kind of love that we see. The first is that this love was self-denial, right? Where I deny myself. So when I deny myself for the sake of somebody else, this is this kind of love. The love that is of Christ, where I give of myself for another. This is what the Lord said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Right? So here, part of taking the cross is denying myself. And this is what the Lord did on the cross. Also suffering. Suffering for what? Suffering for the truth is the way of the cross. Suffering for what is good is the way of the cross. Suffering for what is holy is the way of the cross. All of these holy sufferings and godly sufferings are the way of the cross. Suffering for the truth. There are often times where perhaps, because we proclaim that we're Christian, we're going to be made fun of and pointed out and perhaps maybe bullied in some way, shape, or form, because of the truth that we proclaim, or saying even that we have the truth. Nowadays it's very popular that there's no absolute truth. Everybody has their own kind of truth. So just standing up for what is the truth will be persecuted for. And then for what is good. When we stand up for what is good and the people around us are doing something bad, certainly they're going to make fun of us, certainly they're going to point us out and mock us, right? So doing what is good, even sometimes, will make us suffer for it. And doing what is holy. Again, how many of us, when we're sitting at a meal with a large group, perhaps of our co-workers, we'll sit down and we'll say a prayer, and we'll make the sign of the cross, without shame. Sometimes kid will make the kid that will say something in the back of our mind, we won't even close our eyes, and then the sign of the cross will be yani nano size, you know, to be just like this. Yani somehow yani it really came out. Right? So we sometimes will suffer even for doing what is holy. That's why St. Paul tells his young disciple Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So those of us who want to live a godly life, guess what? We will suffer persecution. We will. Also, the way of the cross is concerned about the unseen rather than the seen. The way of the cross is concerned about what is not apparent here and what is unseen in heaven. Listen to what the Lord tells us in Matthew 16. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So he says, what profit is it if I gain the whole world? If I gain the whole material world, what profit is it if I lose my soul? If I lose that which is to come in the afterlife, that which is unseen now, right? Sometimes we get so focused on the things that are here and now, and we look and get our joy and our happiness and our fill from the things here and now, that we lose sight of what's, to come. That's going to be everlasting, that which will stay. This is exactly the same, the problem that the young rich ruler had when he came to the Lord and he said to the Lord, what is it that I can do to inherit eternal life? And he told him, the commandments, do not murder, do not steal, do not so and so. And he said, Lord, I did these things from my youth. And he looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack, go sell what you have, give to the poor, take up the cross and come follow me. And the Bible tells us that he went away sorrowful for he had many possessions. So here the material kept him from pursuing the non-material, right? But the way of the cross is the exact opposite. Look at the Lord and the disciples. They had, even says of the Lord, they had nowhere to lay his head. And he wasn't alone. The disciples were the same. Those who followed him didn't have a place to lay their head either, right? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were sleeping there. You think that this was the first time that they slept in the Garden of Gethsemane? No. Right, so they themselves didn't have a place even to lay, their head. So they were concerned more of the unseen rather than the seen. My beloved, the whole Christian life is a journey to the cross. And if there is a form of Christianity that doesn't preach the cross, then this is really not Christianity. Because if we follow and we die with Christ, we'll be raised with Him. Right? We are, say we're Christian, we're of Him. The people of Christ. If we're the people of Christ, then we imitate our master. Back in the when Gandhi was alive in the Far East, they asked him, what do you think about the Christians? He's like, I like their Christs, but not their Christians. Because what he saw in the Lord Jesus Christ was something phenomenal. No one's ever done this before, and no one's loved and sacrificed like this before. But what was, what the problem that he found? Is that the Christians were not like the Christ, right? The Christians weren't like the Christ. Our whole life is a journey. If we say you're Christians, we must take up the cross and follow Him. So the way of the cross is a difficult way, as we see. The way of the cross is also the narrow way, the narrow way. The Lord says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. So he tells us this fact, that the broad way where most of the people will go is an easy way, and it's an attractive way, and there are many who go through it, right, that continue. Then what does he say about the narrow way? Then he says, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Notice here the Lord didn't say, and there are few there that go through it. Because the narrow way, it's difficult just to find, and then it's another thing to go through it. If we're going to look at, perhaps some of us might think, okay, the way of orthodoxy is a difficult way. It is. We have a lot of rites. We're in the church a lot. We're in a Good Friday. We're here for like 12 hours and so on. It's not, we have the Igbeya that we ought to be praying. There's a lot of things that we could be doing. right? So if we're going to compare it to other forms of Christianity or other religions, it's, you know, it has its challenges, right? Its difficulty. But knowing about this difficult way doesn't make us go through it. So he says, finding the difficult way is one thing. Perhaps all of us are fortunate because we're here today and we can say we found the narrow gate. But then walking through it is a different, you know, is a different thing altogether, right? Finding and walking through. The way of the cross is the narrow way. Going through a narrow way, if you can get a picture already in our minds, and I'm sure all of you, this is very vivid, going through the toll plaza, right? When it's backed up, right? What will this require to go through the narrow way? Rather than take the easy pass, you're going to take the one lane that's open, or we have to pay the toll, you know, cash. And that one's, you know, backed up all the way, for like a mile. I still don't understand why there's still people that don't have the easy tag that live in Houston. But anyways, so this is the easy tag is the broad way, and this one toll tag is the narrow way where you have to pay. It'll certainly take more effort to go through this narrow way. It might be harder, right? You got the cones, and then you have the concrete, you know, blocks. You have to be very cautious so you don't hit these things. Whereas the easy tag, it's all open, and you can go very easily. So going through the narrow way will be more difficult and take more effort on your part. It will also take a bit more patience, right? Because now you got to wait in line. And then, you know, no one likes waiting in this kind of traffic. So going through the narrow way will certainly take you more, it will test your patience, right? But that's the narrow way. That's the way of the cross. And also it'll take more persistence. I have to be persistent. It's not about just, you know, one time. No, it's consistency, right? In prayer, for example, it's not, I don't become a saint because I was able to pray the Igbeya for a week or 2 weeks, right? No, but it's consistency. Every day I do it, regardless of whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it. But I know this is what I need, so I persist in doing it. The narrow way. The way of the cross is also the unpopular way. It's unpopular because of what we already said, right? You give somebody a choice between going through the toll plaza or paying, you know, and standing in line. 10 times out of 10, they're going to say, I'll take the easy tag and go through. Why am I going to trouble myself, right? But then if I told you the reward on the other side of those would be different, perhaps that would change some of our minds, right? Going through the narrow way and the difficult way and the way of the cross is an unpopular way. It's unpopular. So what are the transformations that we can expect if we go through this narrow way and they'll take up the cross? Number one, their transformation will be from defeat to victory. From defeat to victory. And there's a hymn on Good Friday that we chant. It's called O Monogenes. It's a beautiful hymn. O Only Begotten, Eternal. It says what? Holy Mighty, who by weakness showed forth what is greater than power. So on the cross, while Christ is crucified on the cross, we say, who by weakness showed forth what is greater than power. So he looked as if while Christ was on the cross, this was a form of weakness. But actually, what was it? It was power over death itself, the thing that every human being before Christ feared. But he defeated it on the cross while he looked like he was weak. That's why St. Paul says a beautiful verse in Corinthians. He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. He's speaking about the body, right? Taking now the new body. The corruptible body will take on the new body. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So it's through the cross that we go from a defeated person that's condemned no matter what we do, to one now who is given life and victory. Yes, we sin, but the victory is already won by Christ, and he gives us a share in that when we are baptized, take communion, and repent and confess. We go from defeat to victory. We also go from fear to courage. Those who don't believe in Christ and don't believe in the resurrection, They fear death. They fear death tremendously. But when can a person not fear death? As when I'm in union with Christ and I understand that what's coming is far greater than what is here now. Right? The disciples before the resurrection, if you remember when the soldiers went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us that the disciples fled, right? They all ran. Once they came and took Christ, the disciples ran in fear, right? They were terrified to be caught, and then what's going to happen to Christ will happen to them. So they were scared. Even the morning of the resurrection on Saturday, where were they? In the upper room, right? Why were they in the upper room? Just for fun? They were scared. It said the doors were thoroughly shut, right? They were completely sealed. Why? Because they were scared. But then after they saw the risen Lord, what happened on the day of Pentecost? They went to preach before those whom wanted to persecute them with all courage. They accepted being thrown in prison. St. Stephen accepted to be martyred and stoned, right? St. James would accept to be martyred as well. What happened here? They went from fear to courage through the way of the cross. When we follow our Lord in the way of the cross, then the victory that He had becomes our victory. Also, when we go in the way of the cross, we can expect to go from shame to honor. The cross was a sign of contempt in Roman society. It was the most humiliating type of persecution and death that can be. They weren't trying to, like nowadays, let the person pass in peace. They give them a lethal injection or whatever. No, the point was for them to suffer and for everybody to watch them suffer. It's very humiliating and shameful. So He took what was shame, or a sign of shame, to become now a sign of honor and pride for us Christians, to the point where we hang the cross in our houses, in our cars, and on our necks, right? Because it's a sign that we are proud of and a sign of honor. St. Paul says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame. So Christ says, St. Paul says, Christ, as He hung on the cross, He despised shame. He despised it. He transformed what was shameful to be now that which is glorious. That's why he says again, St. Paul says, for I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. He took pleasure in the cross. And then he also says, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. This is what interests him. He wasn't interested in the gossip between them, but what he's interested in is Christ crucified among them. Where is Christ in your life? Where is Christ in our home? Where is Christ in the life of my children? Right? Is Christ somebody we talk about in the home, or is it only heard of here in the church? Right? Do we speak in the car? I remember one time I was serving some youth in a retreat. And then we all split up, kid, in the buses and cars. And then somebody came with me. The kid, I had this perception that, okay, this is going to be a bad car ride, right? The person talked a lot and so on. To my surprise, and I said, okay, whatever. To my surprise, this person was able to engage for the 2+ hours of the car ride, engage the youth who were like middle and high school or middle school, to engage the youth in a healthy, godly conversation for the 2.5 hours. And I was the one who was silent. I was stunned, right? So this is something that's great. Do we do this with our children in the car and while we're having dinner and talking with one another? Is Christ a subject that we speak about at home? I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's a beautiful prayer that we pray in the fraction, one of the fractions to the Son in the Divine Liturgy. Perhaps it'll sound familiar, but it's a beautiful one. Perhaps we can make it our own prayer. It says, grant me, O my Savior, to consider your suffering my treasure, the crown of thorns my glory, your sorrow my joy, your bitterness my sweetness, your blood my life, and your love my pride and my thanksgiving. So it brings to our attention to take that which Christ made as, in the cross as a type of shame and suffering and hurt, to be something we take as our pride in our life and something that we live by. The way of the cross is also, and lastly, the way from death to life. The way from death to life. I'll leave you a couple of verses, and I'll leave you to think about and meditate about this last point for yourselves. St. Paul says what? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So he's telling us that if we're united to Christ in death, the death of sin, the passions, perhaps in the suffering, and whatever it is that we might do for his name's sake, if we're united to him in this, then guess what? The life would be ours. This is his promise. Then St. John also says something similar. He says, for we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So St. Paul focuses on uniting with Christ, and when being in Christ, we share in his resurrection. And St. John kind of says the same thing. We go from death to life, but how? By loving the brethren, right? By loving our brethren. And I mentioned this many times, there ought not to be one person that I hate and despise. We should be able to love everyone, even those in our own household. Sometimes it might be difficult and challenging, but we have to love them. This is the commandment. So the way of the cross is a difficult, narrow, and unpopular way. But when we walk through the way of the cross, we can expect transformations in our life. We can expect the transformation from defeat to victory, from fear to courage, from shame to honor, and from death to life. May the life of Christ dwell in us richly. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.